I think when you think about the longer term, it makes sense to start in many respects where our country began and think hard about the values that have been at the bedrock of our society literally since the 1700s. It was in this building that you see here in Philadelphia, Independence Hall, where, as virtually every American who made it through high school will recall, that it was on the 2nd of July, 1776, that the colonies voted for their independence, and then it was 2 days later, on the 4th of July, when the founders signed the Declaration. But I think it's interesting today to reflect on what happened the day in between. The day no one talks about, after all, why should they? The 3rd of July, 1776. It was on that morning that this person, John Adams, got up, and before going over to Independence Hall, he sat down and he wrote a letter to his wife, Abigail, who was back in Boston. And he used that letter to reflect on what he thought had started it all, the seminal event that had led to the American Revolution. And in his mind, throughout his life, he always traced that seminal event to this building, the State House in Boston. And he traced it to a specific case that was argued in 1761 in the painting that captured this case that was created later. It was a case that was argued by James Otis, and it was all about one issue. It was about the ability of the British government to use what was called a general warrant, or as some called it, a writ of assistance, and go from house to house to house to house to look for customs violations without any probable cause that there was any evidence of a crime committed within. Interestingly, this was an issue on both sides of the Atlantic. James Otis argued it in Boston in 1761. A member of Parliament, John Wilkes, argued it successfully in London just a year later. And on both sides of the Atlantic, the argument was made that this kind of governmental ability to enter a premise without any particular probable cause about evidence of a crime within was a fundamental violation of civil liberties. And John Adams, as it turned out, when this case was argued in 1761, was a young man, 25 years old, studying to become a lawyer, who sat in the audience. And he would always say, to the day he died, that it was that case, that courtroom, that day, and this issue that set this country on a course for independence. Now, it was 13 years after the Declaration of Independence was signed that in many ways that principle was fully realized. It was in a different building. It was on the corner of Wall Street and Nassau Street in Manhattan. And the building that stood there then is not the building that stands there now. It was this building. It was the first capital of the new government after the completion of the new Constitution. And it was in this room where the first House of Representatives met. And it just so happens that it was 225 years ago this month, on the 8th of June, that James Madison stood up for the entire day and introduced and defended the concept of having a Bill of Rights. As anybody who knows history will appreciate, that even when James Madison stood up, he was not necessarily the tallest person in the room, but he commanded the respect of everyone's ear. And as the afternoon wore on, people challenged him as to why a Bill of Rights was needed. After all, Madison had not been an early proponent. And interestingly, he took people back to that case in Boston. He explained that a government that had the authority to protect public safety, that had the authority to collect revenue, that had the authority under the Constitution to do everything that was necessary and proper to fulfill those responsibilities, also needed to have limits. And one of the limits, he pointed out, was the need for what became the Fourth Amendment, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers and effects from unreasonable search and seizure. And in particularly, as the Fourth Amendment calls out, it was made clear that there would never be a general warrant in the United States because the government could get a warrant only based on probable cause and only by satisfying with particularity a belief that there was evidence of criminal activity within a specific premise.